verses 1 to 13 and can be found on page 287 in the Church Bibles. So that's 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13. Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, Father, our prayer this morning is very simply that we will hear what you have given Chris to pass on to us. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's really good to see you this morning. If we've not met before, my name's Chris, and I've been a part of the team here for nearly 6 years. It'll be 6 years in August, and married to Helena, have two young ones, Jessica, who is six and a bit, and Rafi, who's three and a half, and they're currently downstairs having a great time, I'm sure. Hey, who loves the sun? Who loves the sun? Anyone not so sure about the sun? I put my hand up on that one. I love the sun, but when the sun comes, I am a burning, hay fevering mess. And so, like when a couple of weeks ago, when we had that hot couple of days. I woke up and I was like, my hay fever thing was coming on. I was like, the sun must be shining. So I love the sun. Anyone who's a tanner in the room? Who tans well? A few people. Any burners? Great. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Bless you, burners. And tanners, you can do what you want. I'm a burner. It's great to see you. And we're in this series on identity, and this is week 4 of that series. And I'm going to speak to you just for a few minutes. And just to say that, kind of to set things up before I really get into what I'm going to do, my expectation this morning is that we want to pray for people. And so we're going to invite at some point our ministry team to join us, and I'd love to be able to pray for people this morning, for those for whom what I'm going to share is most relevant. Just while I set a few things up, why don't you just take 1 minute or so just to talk to the person next to you, say hi to the person behind you, give them your name, whatever, just say hi, and then I'll come back in about 1 minute. Okay, let's bring it back in. That's it, bring it back together. Okay. Wonderful. Lovely. Feel free to carry those conversations on once coffee time starts. So, I'd love you to try and stick with me this morning. I'm feeling a bit nervous this morning because I've been running around this message trying to find where to go. And the way I feel like it's going to go is that there's going to be some strands that are going to get pulled together that may or may not come together until the end. So try and stick with me throughout, because I'm hoping that it will come together at the end. Okay, right, Mark. If I was to play you this classic 90s TV theme tune, could you tell me the title? Okay, who recognizes it? Okay, right. Who's too embarrassed to own up that they know that? I've got a few people. Okay, who knows the title to that TV show? Rosemary. Keeping Up Appearances. That's right. Do you remember that show? I remember sitting down with Mum and Dad watching that show. I don't know why we watched it, but we did watch it. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, it's a show about a married couple, a slightly older married couple, who live in a well-to-do part of town. And they work, and particularly the wife of the family, works furiously hard at maintaining this perfect persona of what life should look like, whilst at the same time making sure that she does her utmost to hide all the bits, and particularly the people in her family that she doesn't want anyone to see. So I thought I'd call my message this morning, Keeping Up Appearances. That's the title of this morning's talk. Keeping Up Appearances. I wonder how many of you feel like, or how much time you spend living life on the outside. I wonder how many of us spend time and energy just trying to keep up appearances, just living on the outside. Some of us find the challenge of keeping up appearances really hard. We find that we actually spend a lot of our life desperately trying to present this kind of life that looks great to everyone, whilst on the inside we're barely holding it together. We're going to come back to that in a minute. I love this part of the Bible. I love the whole story of David, the life of David. I love this moment. I love it. It marks a significant shift in the story of God. And I love what we learn about God's nature and God's character in this part of the story of God. The backstory to this moment is that the people of God, the people of Israel, have got hold of Samuel, who is the prophet. He's the guy who speaks the word of God to the people. They've got hold of Samuel and they said, hey, we really want a king, just like all the other nations around us. We want a king to rule us and to lead us into battle. We need a king because we want to be like all the other nations around us. Samuel's not so sure, but God says it's okay. They can have a king. So they choose Saul. God chooses Saul. And Saul is king, an anointed king over Israel as the first king. But it doesn't take long before he actually doesn't do a great job at being the king that God had called him to be. He wanders away and does a whole bunch of other things, and that's another story. But God rejects him essentially as king. And so we pick up the story here when Saul has been rejected as king and David is going to be anointed as the next king. I'm a huge advocate for the details of Scripture. I love the details. And one of the things that surprises me in this story is how that when God speaks to Samuel about what he's to do and he gives him his task, I'm interested in the information that he withholds from Samuel. And as a side note, sometimes in our lives, actually, God withholds information from us because it's not the time for that information to be revealed. In this story, I'm interested in what God withholds from Samuel. Now, if it was me, I would probably tell Samuel to go and find the youngest son of Jesse called David, because that would make more sense to me. Samuel, you were to go and anoint the new king. He's a young guy. He's the youngest son of Jesse. He's out with the sheep, and he's called David. Go find him. And God doesn't say that to Samuel. What does he say? He says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. I love that, because what God does in this part of the story is not just teach Samuel something about his nature and his character, but God makes sure that forever and ever, this truth about his character and his nature is written in the word of God for all people of all time to read and know about him. The truth is this, that the sight of God, the eyes of God, the perspective of God is more focused on your inside than on your outside. The sight of God, the eyes of God, the perspective of God is more focused on your inside than on your outside. Samuel sees Eliab, the eldest son of Jesse. He sees him and he says, surely this is the guy. And God says, hold on. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Here's the truth this morning that some of us need to hear and some of us need to come in alignment with in the way that we live our lives. God is more focused on your inside than on your outside. And many of us are more focused on the outside than we are on the inside. So, when I ask how much time are we spending living on the outside, I guess what I'm asking is how much of our identity is shaped and formed by our outside perspective and our focus on the outside rather than the inside. Things like competition with X person in our workplace around, I don't know, around jobs well done, around promotion, whatever it is, a sense of competition, a sense of maybe comparison in the people around you. You see someone and you compare yourself to them, and that outside perspective begins to form your identity. Maybe it's the fearful opinion of other people that you have that is forming your identity. Maybe it's the opinion that you're making of others that's forming your identity and the judgment that you have on the people around you. Quick one for parents. Anyone ever feel like you parent your kids on the outside, from the outside? Ever feel like you make decisions and interact with your children based on what the people around you think they should hear or might hear? We're struggling with that at the moment in a few ways. Our girls are naturally quite shy around people that they don't know very well. And that can be really tricky in public situations, because they're around a lot of people a lot of the time because of what we do. And that can come across sometimes as quite rude and quite like, don't come near me. And for us as parents, that's really hard, because we struggle with that sense of, well, I don't want to push my kids to be people that they're not, because other people think that they're being rude. But I also want to teach them how to be respectful to people. And it's a real challenge for us at the moment, that. But parents, don't parent your kids from the outside. Don't parent your kids based on what you think of people around you. You see people all the time. I see the people all the time disciplining their children based on what they think other people think they should be disciplining them, how they should be disciplining them. Does that make sense? So they shout at their kids and tell them, don't do that thing. And inside they're going, I don't really care if they're doing that thing, but I think that person over there thinks I should be telling them off. So I better tell them off. Does that make sense? You parent them from the outside. We live so much of our life from the outside. God's perspective is more on your inside than on your outside. King Saul was a man who sadly spent too much time living on the outside. He spent a lot of time living from the outside. And this is no truer than when David bursts onto the scene in the Goliath story. And all of Saul's insecurities and all of Saul's outside formed identity comes to the forefront. David kills Goliath, and the army come back home, and the people begin to write songs about the battles. And the songs go a bit like this. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And Saul can't handle it. He cannot handle it. So the jealousy, the comparison, the competition, the fear, it all creeps in. And suddenly we realize that Saul's identity has mainly been formed on the outside and not the inside. And see, when God chose David, he chose a man after his own heart. David knew what it was to live from the inside out. Okay. Everyone okay? Okay. So, point number one is this. God is more focused on your inside than he is on your outside. And so many of us live our lives more focused on the outside rather than the inside. Living on the outside, point number one. Point number two, the heart matters. The heart really matters. I think Paul in the New Testament builds on these themes. If you've got a Bible with you, I'd love you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to spend a bit of time in there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read just a few verses to you. And we're just going to begin to build on some of these themes around outside and inside. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Just before he writes this, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Just before that, that's what he writes. Paul is talking big picture here. He's talking big picture, the power of the resurrection in our lives, the power of the saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in each of our lives. That's what he's talking about, big picture. And then he says, therefore, do not lose heart. Based on what I've just written about the saving power and resurrection of Jesus Christ, do not lose heart. The Amplified translation says about losing heart, it says this, therefore, do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Therefore, do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. That's how that interprets that sense of losing heart. So, what happens to us when we lose heart? Remember, God's attention is more on your heart than it is on the outside. So what happens to us when we lose heart? I think a load of things happen when we lose heart, and that's going to be different for all of us. But I think one thing that will be true to all of us is that when we lose heart, we also lose the sense of God's value and the sense of God's perspective. When we lose heart, we lose the sense of God's value and the sense of God's perspective. Because God's perspective, his sight, is more focused on your inside than on your outside, which tells us that he more values your inside over your outside. So when we lose heart, we lose the perspective of God and we lose the sense of values that God has. This passage, I think, builds on some of these themes. And it does it through a number of interesting ways. And we got some parallels in this passage. You may have noticed them. We've got an inside and outside parallel. We've got an eternal and a temporary parallel. And we've got a seen and unseen parallel. Inside, outside. Eternal, temporary. Seen, unseen. So in Samuel, God says to him, don't consider his appearance. Don't look on the outside. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that on the outside, we're wasting away, and on the inside, we're being renewed day by day. We can see again the perspective and the value of God. Outwardly, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. My shoes at the moment are very temporary. If you can't see them, let me tell you, my shoes are very temporary. This building is temporary. Your life is temporary. My clothes are temporary. Your cars you drive around and the new one you're thinking about, it's all temporary. Outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. How many of you know that if you can see your insides from the outside, you're in a bad shape? If you can see your insides from the outside, you're not in good shape. Understand? Do you agree? Hopefully. So much of what God does and what he values is on the inside, which is a place that can't be seen. It's a place of eternal value rather than a place of a temporary value. You see, when we spend our lives keeping up appearances and living on the outside, we live a life that becomes foundationally shaky because it forms itself on an outside, temporary, and seen realm. And if at the foundation of our identity, God's sight is on your inside, foundationally, and you're foundationally building on the outside, you're going to be building on shaky ground. And God wants nothing more than for you to have the most solid, most firm core identity, which starts with what's going on the inside. It's your heart, because his sight and his perspective are there. So don't lose heart. God is right there. God is there. His perspective is on your heart. Some of us today, I think some of us have lost heart. I think some of us can really resonate with that sense of struggling with living from the outside, keeping up appearances, whilst all the time really struggling to keep it together on the inside. I believe this morning with all my heart that God wants to bring renewal and restoration to some hearts, because he wants to rebuild the foundations of your identity, and he wants to build it on solid ground, not on the shaky ground of an outward, temporary, seen realm. So I brought a little friend with me. Sorry if you found that weird, if she was looking at you the whole talk. Anyone know who this is? He's Moana. This is. Sorry, I'm gonna put her legs down. That's a bit weird. This is Moana. Anyone seen the film Moana? Keep your hands up if you've got kids under 6 or 7. Everyone. This is a Disney character called Moana. Disney released a film a few years ago. It was one of their most recent films, and it's a film all about identity. It's an amazing film, and I encourage you to watch it, even if you don't have kids, even if you don't like Disney, whatever. I encourage you to watch it. It's a story all about identity. I want to read you a quick synopsis just to keep you in the loop, and then I want to play you a track from the movie. This is the synopsis of the film. Moana is a sea-voyaging enthusiast and the only daughter of a chief in a long line of navigators. When her island's fishermen can't catch any fish and the crops fail, she learns that the demigod Maui caused the blight by stealing the heart of the goddess Tefiti. The only way to heal the island is to persuade Maui to return Tefiti's heart. So Moana sets off on an epic journey across the Pacific to restore the heart of Tefiti. I really wish that I could have played you the video, but we got some kids in the room this morning, and there's a bit of a scary character in it. And I've learnt my lesson before that I can't do that when kids are in the room. So I'm not going to play the video, but I'm going to play you the track. The character Tefiti is the goddess of the island, who basically is the character who keeps everything thriving. This other guy comes along and steals her heart, and she turns into this crazy monster. I mean, she turns into a crazy monster. Anyone relate to that? She turns into a crazy monster. And we get to this point in the film, we play the track, we get to this point in the film, and Moana has got the heart of Tefiti, it's a little green circle thing, and this crazy monster comes rushing towards her. And the sea splits in front of Moana, and she walks towards Tefiti with the heart. And as she puts the heart back in, she sings this song. Mark, can you play it for me?
To find you,
oh, not on my mind.
stone in the heart from inside you. But this does not define you. This is not who
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that song. It gets me every time. The words say this: I have crossed the horizon to find you. And you hear the voice of God now. Okay, hear the voice of God. I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you. But this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. Some of us are in a place where we've lost our heart. We've lost our heart. And it's beginning to define you. Hear the voice of God this morning. I have crossed the horizon to find you. And your heart may be stolen, but it doesn't define you. This is not who you are. You do not have to live from the outside in. You do not have to live just keeping up appearances. God has more for you than that. Stop building on shaky ground. God wants to solidify your identity. And this is not a one moment hit. It's not just going to happen this morning. It's a lifetime journey. But hear the voice of God this morning. Okay. I'm going to ask us to stand. And I want us to pray for some people. We've got time. Not loads, but we've got a bit. Okay, can I have some ministry team around? That would be really, really, really helpful. I'm not quite sure what to do. I want to make an invitation this morning. I want to make an invitation that if you'd like to be prayed for, if you'd like someone just to gather around you, if you'd like just to mark a moment where you go, yeah, I think that's true of me, or whatever, then I'm going to invite you forward, and I'm going to invite you to come just to stand somewhere along here. There'll be some people who come pray for you. If there's more people than prayers, that's fine. It will just get a bit messy for a while, and that's okay. Okay? So just take a minute just to reflect, and then I'm going to just make an invitation. If you want to come forward and pray, then I invite you forward. Father, this morning we recognize before you the areas and the places of our lives that are being built on shaky ground. We recognize the areas and the places of our lives that are being more focused on the outside than on the inside. We recognize places of comparison and competition and judgment and fear and opinion and all those things that are shaping some of our lives. We recognize them. And Father, we ask for your perspective and your values this morning. Thank you that your sight is on our inside primarily. And thank you that shows us what you value. So in these moments now, Father, just stir us and help us to know that we're walking a long journey here. It's not a one moment thing. We're walking a long journey. In Jesus' name. Okay. So can I invite you, if you want to respond to that, just make your way forward now. The guys are going to lead us in worship. And we're going to pray for anyone that wants prayer. We'll be here for as long as we need to be here. But just begin to come forward. You ready? Great. All right. We'll worship for a while.